We are joined this afternoon in our first NASCAR interview with driver Eric Jones. First off, man, how you doing? And how you enjoying the season so far?
It's been good. I mean, you know, just getting rolling this year, and you know, you're kind of in the swing of things now in the summer here in May, and really rolling every week. So, yeah, it's been good just to get started off and, you know, get back in the swing of it. But definitely kind of getting in the heart of the season now and getting rolling pretty fast every week.
Yeah, so, you know, before we kind of take a look back on kind of your career path, we have North Wilkesboro this weekend, which is, you know, probably new to just about everybody and who's racing this weekend for, you know, for the All-Star event. What's it like to go, you know, what's it like for NASCAR to be back at such a famous track?
Well, I think it's just neat to see us go back somewhere that we left, right? You know, I think you look at the history of the track and North Wilkesboro and what it meant to the sport. You know, it's rare that you ever leave a venue and then return to it. So up there and seeing the improvements, it's been pretty impressive to see how much they've worked to bring it back. But the event itself obviously has a ton of hype around it coming up this weekend and what it's going to mean to the sport. So I think we're all pretty excited to get up there and race there. It's just one of those tracks that you look and watch races as a driver and, you know, hope you get the chance to go race there someday. And it's going to be cool to get the cup cars back out there for sure.
Yeah, I know they had a little bit of an issue yesterday. I forget who was running with pavement coming up. Is there any concern with kind of preparation that the track has undergone in the last, you know, however many months, or, you know, these things just happen and you just kind of roll with the punches?
Well, I think there's probably some concern. You know, obviously the cup cars are heavy and we have the diffusers that are me hitting the racetrack and some rub blocks and stuff. And the surface is, you know, 35, 40 years old. So there's concern there, but I think the track's learning as they go and how they're going to handle that, patch it and get the sealer better and not have it coming up, you know, when we're out there. But, you know, it's hot too, so it's hard to keep some of that stuff down. And then the racetrack, we'll just have to, you know, have to see how it's going to play out. I hope we don't have any issues. You never want to see an event like that, you know, get kind of marred or overlooked because of issues like that. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think hopefully SMI is going to have a plan in place for this weekend to kind of mitigate some of those issues.
So you began racing, you know, quarter midget racing when you were younger, but how did you get involved in racing? You know, what led you to want to start racing when you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, just started as you know, a love for cars in general, but, you know, transitioned into, you know, being a casual fan, watching NASCAR as a kid and, you know, onward into, you know, just reading a little bit about quarter midgets and what they were and just kind of got started in it. We were first generation racing family. I didn't have any family that raced before me. So we had heard about it and I thought it'd be really fun, you know, as a kid and was begging to kind of go do it. And we ended up going and jumping in head first. So it was pretty cool to get going. You know, it's something I think every kid wants to do, but it was cool to see it happen.
Yeah, everybody asks me, like, did you race when you were little instead of, you know, being on the racing media side? I went, nope, I played hockey because I definitely was not going to, you know, be able to afford, you know, race cars and quarter midgets and whatever else I wanted to do when I was little. So I get that. I wanted to, too, but I settled for watching them in the stands. But when you were at that age and you started racing, did you have drivers that you tried to emulate, that you rooted for, that were in NASCAR, in IndyCar, in Formula One, you know, wherever they were?
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR, I always followed. Jeff Gordon was always the guy that I was cheering for, you know, early 2000s. And watching him every week as a fan was always my favorite. And you know, early on as a kid, wanted to follow his career path and kind of how he got to NASCAR. And that was, you know, the only somewhat blueprint, I guess, we had, you know, to see, okay, how did he get from, you know, point A to point B, and just try to learn from that. But he was always the guy that I followed.
Awesome. Before I continue with racing questions, have to go to a little bit of a music question here. We have a Pit Lane Parlay Drivers Spotify playlist. So if you're going to listen to a song, you know, pre-race or, you know, pre-qualifying, is there a song that you want to put on there?
Oh, man. I'm not much of a music guy before events like that, but if I had to pick one song, I don't know, maybe Life in the Fast Lane, the Eagles, something like that. I could go with that. That's a good song, kind of racing theme, so we'll go with that one.
All right, I got it. So we'll go back to, you know, racing. You are a part of, you know, Legacy Motor Club for the you know, inaugural year this year. How has that transition as Jimmy has come in as owner and co-owner been so far this year? And you know, what is the long-term outlook from a driver's perspective for a sort of a new team at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed a bit with Jimmy coming in, you know, and obviously everyone has their own style leadership and role and what they see as far as the future of whatever they're involved in, right? Yeah. And Jimmy, you know, I think it wants to obviously see us become a very successful team, and there was things we had to do to make that change. And so, you know, he's been working hard to try to put those pieces in place for the future. But Jimmy's a really good guy, and I've known him for a lot of years, never worked with him on anything
sure.
In racing. So it's been just fun to get to know him better and work side by side here over the last few months, and see him get back in the race car, get back on the track, and having some fun with that too. But really good guy, and definitely happy, I think all of us are, to have him over in our group.
From a driving standpoint, have you been able to glean any information from him, any setup tips and tricks over the last 4 or 5 months as he's kind of, you know, gotten back into the car at a handful of races?
You know, it's small stuff here and there. It's tough because the cars have changed so much. And,
sure.
You know, I think he found out so quickly when he hopped in them, you know, just how far removed they are from our last generation cars. So it's unfortunate because I would love to pick his brain on a lot of stuff. And, you know, it just doesn't apply too much anymore. So, you know, I've asked him some general racing questions and stuff, how he approached certain situations that, you know, some things don't change in racing, you know, beyond the race car itself. So he's a wealth of knowledge for that. Obviously 20 plus years in the sport and tons of success too. So he's always an open book though. You know, he's there to help Noah and I the whole time to try to answer any questions we have. He's been in the simulator working and doing some stuff there with us. So okay. It's been good.
You had your last win last year in Darlington. Your first win was all the way back in Daytona in 2018. Are you one of those drivers that you can, you know, look back to a win and go, you know, hey, I won in 2018 at Daytona. This is who I beat, who finished on the podium. Like, can you remember details like that all the way back to your first win?
I usually can. I guess, okay. I've never thought about it too much, but I think back to them. I can think of them pretty quickly.
Okay, who was on the, and I don't have this in front of me, so I'm just curious. I don't have it handy. For your first race win, who was, do you remember who was on the podium?
Well, I remember who finished second for sure, and okay. That was Martin Truex Jr. At third that day, I can't remember. You know, I'm trying to think back to all these races now. I guess I can remember who finished second a lot of times. You know, you're racing with him so much in those ending stages, but it's hard for to remember who ran third in those races. It's funny that I've never really thought about that, but it's kind of interesting to try to think back and remember.
So now that I have it up, now I guess I should have had it up before I asked, but third was AJ Allmendinger in the 2018 race.
The 47, yep. I remember him and the 37 both were up there, teammates in contention at the end, so that makes sense.
So as you look towards the, you know, back kind of two-thirds of this season, you know, we're on year two of the next-gen car, and there's probably some things that still need to be ironed out. You know, what are you, you – know, is there anything car-wise that you're concerned about, but also, you know, looking forward to being able to, you know, work on over the second part of the season?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think we're just still learning so much about this car on the setup side. It was interesting, the old car, you know, you just – kind of piled as much downforce into it as you could, and it would drive pretty good most of the time. You could kind of tweak your balance to get it where you wanted to be, where, you know, this car, you can't do that as much. You really got to make it drive sure. Good. A lot more finicky than what the old car was. The adjustments are a lot smaller. The window's a lot smaller to be really good or really bad. So it's been tougher in general to go out, and it's getting tougher and tougher as we go with the window getting smaller and smaller, you know, with people learning about this car. So it's been fun though, you know, just coming in and learning something totally different. The old car was so optimized and so far down the line. There was nothing really groundbreaking that anyone was doing. You know, we were doing some cool stuff here and there, but there was no real new things coming on the scene with the old car. So it was kind of fun to start over from.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along the Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
From scratch with something that nobody really knew anything about, and try to be the first guy to figure it out. And that's been fun for me as a driver, and just kind of learning about something totally new.
Do you prefer so far the new car more than the old car, or is it just totally different? You can't compare it like that.
It's hard to compare.
Yeah.
You know, I think the new car is better on some places. I think the old car was a little bit better on other places, but you know, we're working hard to kind of balance that out, you know.
Sure.
The aero and the suspension and stuff, there's a lot of changes in the works right now with NASCAR to try to kind of balance some of the short track and road course issues we've had. So, you know, the mile and a half and a bit, some of the super speedway races have been pretty good in the next gen car, but definitely we have some work to do on the short track package. So, you know, it's interesting to see on that side of two things too, right? How NASCAR approaches that, and you know, how we kind of move through making these things better. So, it's been good though. They've been in a lot of communication with us and kind of asking what we need from the race car to go put on good races. And I think it's been really beneficial.
I have two more questions for you here, and I was curious, you know, as you know, NASCAR and maybe certain drivers have been in the news a lot lately for on-track antics, and it seems to be creating a lot of buzz in, you know, sports news in general that maybe isn't necessarily a big, you know, to big people who aren't NASCAR fans. Is that okay to you, or is it a little frustrating when it's, you know, antics causing, you know, that are making waves in the news and not, hey, that was an awesome race at, you know, blah, blah, blah last weekend? You know, how do you feel that line between good and antics?
Well, I think eyes on the sport are always good, right? But I think at the end of the day, that's, you know, you want people to become interested because it is a good race, right? I mean, that's what we do at the end of the day. So, you know, I don't think any of us are interested in it becoming, some kind of drama series week to week. And I know I'm definitely not. But yeah, I mean, if we can get some eyes on the sport through that, I'll take it, but I don't want that to become the only reason people are watching, right? You know, I want them to eventually become invested just because they enjoy the racing, you know, they enjoy the competition and the strategy of it all, and have fun watching it as a fan and find a guy that they enjoy rooting for as well. So, you don't want it to become too much drama off the track ever. I don't think anybody wants that, but you know, if it does get some more eyes on the sport, you know, I think we're all for it.
Awesome. Last question here. I wanted to give you just a brief chance to kind of talk about your charity and your children's book initiative and where people can learn more about it.
Yeah. So we started the Eric Jones Foundation a couple of years ago now. And, right off the bat, there's some more information on my website, ericjonesracing.com. We have a foundation tab on there to learn really in depth about it. But, you know, we do a few different things. And one of them, like you mentioned, being literacy and reading, especially literacy with kids. And I've been just a big reader my whole life and wanted to kind of find a way to connect that through what I do. And I didn't really know how until a couple of years ago, and we started doing some readings with kids' books, and it's really caught on. And so that's been a lot of fun. And then we also do some stuff with cancer, early detection and awareness, which May this month is Melanoma Awareness Month, which is a big group we've worked with over the last few years. So the foundation, yeah, it's grown a lot. It's become something that, I have a lot of fun with and just enjoy working with, is doing some of the cool events that we do. So looking to keep it just growing and getting bigger and better and supporting more causes when we can. And, just growing into seeing what it can become, but definitely become something I really enjoyed.
Awesome. For everybody listening, I'll put the link in the podcast description and on the social medias when we post out the episode. Yeah, I wish co-host could join. He got stuck in a meeting, but he has like the most insane collection of just racing books.
Oh, wow.
And I was at his house a couple months ago, and it's more than just like one bookshelf. I think there's two or three like whole bookshelves with just racing books and other books. So he's got a pretty cool collection of books. We've done a racing book YouTube video at one point sometime or the other. But anyway, man, I appreciate the time, and you know, best of luck this year. I'll see you at the track at some point, and good luck.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform, or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.